opinions of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we have with us this afternoon Mr. Patrick Mallon. We're going to be talking about California dictatorship. Patrick, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. I truly appreciate the invite.
Well, why don't you tell our listeners just a little bit about who you are and how you happened to write the book about California dictatorship.
Sure. I'm 46, Irish Catholic, wonderful wife Mary, and two little boys, Brendan and Patrick. I live down in Orange County, California. And in 2002, Dr. Stan, I began a series of reports for Newsmax.com covering the California governor's race between Gray Davis and Bill Simon. And then in 2003, with the recall heating up, I then became much more active again with Newsmax and reports on the recall as well. So I unintentionally became involved in a lot of talk radio, and eventually it led to doing the book, because inevitably I had to pull it all together and connect the pieces and tell the story about how the legislature and Gray Davis turned California into a financial disaster, turned us into a cultural nightmare. And what we were dealing with was a, as I say in my title, a dictatorship. Every elective statewide office in California was held by a Democrat. Davis was a Democrat, and both the Assembly and the Senate in Sacramento were dominated by Democrats, and the most influential were the far-left Democrats. Well, I think the story really had to be told, and it was a lot of work, but I enjoyed doing it.
All right. Well, I think you're to be congratulated for doing this. But the American people really must understand what happened here in California, because we lost control of California, first of all, because the good people weren't involved, because the radicals were able to seize control of the leadership and the majority in both houses. But I think the most clever thing was that Gray Davis, who himself is a far-left radical extremist, posed as a moderate. Oh, he was the education governor. He wanted to help our children learn by phonics. He was in favor of the death penalty. He found out what people were in favor of, and he took those issues, three or four major issues, got himself elected, and then, of course, turned our state from the middle of the road to the radical left. And the average American, the average person in California, really didn't understand as the deficits grew. And, of course, we were dealing, when he was recalled, with a $38 billion deficit. And he had lied. And I think that was the thing that got to the people more than anything, is that the governor had lied to them about so many things. And when they suddenly began to realize what was happening, our state facing financial disaster. Why? Of course, we had a recall, first time a governor's ever been recalled, to my knowledge, in California. And, of course, it's an exciting time. We'll be right back with Patrick Mallon talking about his book, California Dictatorship. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. Our guest today is Patrick Mallon, and he has written a book called California Dictatorship. It's the story of what happened when Gray Davis was in the governor's mansion, and, of course, what led up to the recall of Governor Gray Davis. So, Patrick, we have our audience. We have a new audience that has joined us. Why don't you just briefly tell our listeners who've just joined us about the background of this book? You had actually been encouraged to write this book by Melody Morgan?
Yeah, Melody Morgan, Dr. Stan, up at KSFO 560 in San Francisco, called me on Independence Day, no less, on July 4th, 2003, and just out of the blue, and I said, Melody, how you doing? And she said, Patrick, we need to talk, and I appreciated her calling, but it was rather odd for her to call on a holiday. She said that, you've been doing these reports for Newsmax and talk radio, and if you could pull this together into a book and have something that you could point to as a clear expression of your ability to define these issues and publish them, you may have an opportunity in talk radio, perhaps one of the smaller stations, and get a start that way. And I never went looking for the opportunity. I took it as a compliment. And but basically, Melanie did what you know many of our friends throughout life do, and that is they put the kernel, they put that final bit of encouragement and enthusiasm in front of you, and it gets you to get off your duff and deal with the task at hand and get to work.
Well, I think what's so important for our listeners to realize is that the radical left had seized control of the Senate and the Assembly here in California. Gray Davis had run as a moderate, middle-of-the-road governor. He really wasn't. He was a radical leftist, but he gave the idea, he was in favor of the death penalty. Why? Why? Because, of course, that was what the people wanted. He was in favor of moderate taxes. He was in favor, certainly, of improving education. Well, why don't you pick up the story from there? Because, of course, he posed as one thing, but he really had a different agenda.
That's true. And, this to me is the term Trojan horse politics. We saw it with John Kerry. We certainly see it in California. And that is, you tell the people what they want to hear, because it sounds good, and then when it comes time to actually perform in connection with what you said, you ignore them. And because we're very disaffected in this state and very cynical, it's not until we became so angry with Davis and turning a $12 billion surplus into a $38 billion deficit, seeing our vehicle license fees tripled.
Hold that thought for just a moment, please. Well, Dr. Stan, our guest is Patrick Mellon. Mellon, his book is California Dictatorship. And, of course, Patrick is saying that Gray Davis took the leadership of the helm of the state of California and turned a $12 billion surplus into a $38 billion deficit in a matter of 4 short years. And, of course, he was going then to increase taxes, he was going to increase the car tax, and he was going, of course, to, if he had stayed in place, you know very well, there would have been massive increases in taxes. He refused to address the issue of compensation, workmen's compensation, which was driving industries out of our state, of taxation, environmental regulation in our industries, and California was on the verge of really becoming a third world nation, going from the 6th or 7th largest economy in the world into actual oblivion. And thank goodness why there were enough people who were willing to take the leadership up and get Gray Davis recalled. I think what's so amazing is nobody thought it could ever be accomplished. They never thought that the people of this state would have the courage to stand up and say, we're not going to put up with this anymore. And I don't think Gray Davis thought so either, did he, Patrick?
No, he didn't. And I remember distinctly when he said that he thought the recall effort was sour grapes by a bunch of losers. And I think if you ever wanted to, stick a fork in someone and get them to be angered with you, it's arrogant statements like that where, the disdain you could see, coming forth from Davis and the legislature. They were so accustomed, Dr. Stan, to doing whatever they wanted to do. I mean, they have a monopoly, and they're going to be abuses when you have a monopoly. And when you talk about dictatorship, I don't take that term lightly. I mean, that's a very powerful term to make, and it's risky business. But I think in Davis's case, it's a sustainable proposition, and I'm being entirely respectful of Governor Davis. But a dictator has total power, both bodies of the Sacramento legislature were Democrats. Important committees are far left. Judgeships are decidedly liberal. And, on every front, Dr. Stan, be it illegal immigration, affirmative action, all the issues, English-only policies in schools, gay marriage. I mean, we didn't just take polls and say, here's what the people want. Okay, Governor Davis, now do it. We passed initiatives. We made the law because we're the people. And Davis, on all those fronts, said, hey, public, take a hike. I'm either going to find a way to undermine your will, or I'm going to find a judge who will discard your your intention.
And, of course, we saw that with Prop 187, where the majority of the people in this state, a significant majority, and even probably a significant part of the Hispanic population, the legal Hispanic population, were sick and tired of the illegals coming in here and bringing in disease and running up our hospital rates, our hospital fees, and running up the cost of education, and bringing with them crime and all sorts of other problems, and, of course, getting their children to born here so that they could begin getting welfare immediately. All of these things that the people said, we're going to pass Prop 187, and it did pass. And, of course, Governor Davis refused to enforce it. Absolutely refused. He refused to appeal a decision by a judge. They held this up until, of course, Gray Davis got in, and then they just buried the law of the state of California. But, of course, so is Arnold Schwarzenegger. It's still the law, and Arnold Schwarzenegger is going right along with it. But at least as far as Governor Davis, he was the first one, and then, of course, English only. People voted to have English only taught in our schools because we don't want the children who are here coming in as immigrants not to learn the language, because that's going to create division. And what did Governor Davis do with that proposition that was initiative overwhelmingly passed by the majority of the people in the law of our state?
That's right. And ironically, and this is why it's so imperative that people stay on top of this, just because we recalled Davis and we've got a little more control over some of the crazier legislation that Arnold certainly will veto. Yes, he's a social liberal, but on some fundamental issues, we're in a better position, at least financially in this state, with Arnold in there. But, what we're missing, Dr. Stan, is when you have half of our budget is going to education, and the largest population of those students that we're educating are the hordes of people coming across the border who we have to, by law, permit entry into school and give them an education. This is the most expensive element of our state budget.
Even if they're here illegally, in fact, they actually get a special bonus if they're here illegally. They can go to our state universities cheaper than somebody from the state of Nevada who is here an American citizen.
Yeah, and sometimes I wonder, as we make these horrible decisions, and clearly they're not meant to improve our quality of life, but to destroy it. Who is making these decisions, and how are they benefiting from it? In many ways, one aspect that I've never really considered too much, and we don't get much press on it, is perhaps the legal profession is doing such a great job at milking controversy, because the people who write the laws are the lobbyists. 70% of all the laws up in Sacramento are initially written by lobbyists, a lot of these guys, in the Assembly and Senate. Sure, they'll read it. Tom McClintock's very diligent. But in many cases, it's wherever the money is, and wherever the money is coming from with the big fat cat lobbyists, those are the guys who write the laws, and those are the guys who milk the system, be they judges or be they lawyers.
Well, I think, though, the real reason behind it, Patrick, and this is my opinion, but you see, there is another agenda, and that is they want to unite Canada, Mexico, and the United States. That's what's really all this is all about, this globalist dream. And, of course, this is why we have open borders. This is why they refuse to close the borders. This is why they won't allow police, when they arrest somebody here for speeding or for drunk driving or anything, they can't ask them if they are a legal resident. They're prevented from arresting people who are here illegally. This is not madness. They know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want the American people to realize that the people who lead both political parties have no loyalty to America, but to the globalist dream.
That's true. But I'm seeing on an optimistic front, Dr. Stan, is that people are, as the influence of the mainstream media, be they television, or the Dan Rathers, or Brokaw, Jennings, and the newspapers, is while it diminishes and their influence is falling apart right in front of us, while at the same time we're getting far more qualified and diverse sources of information from the internet and talk radio, we are becoming better informed. And if people really want to have the truth in hand and oppose what these jackals are doing, and I call them jackals because that's what they are, we have a fighting chance. And I think with the recall, we should be encouraged that we can take matters into our own hands when we need to. It was Hiram Johnson in 1911, the governor back then of California, who knew with the corruption of the railroads back then, who were buying all the politicians, that we needed to have this instrument in hand to recall a recalcitrant official, and that's what we did.
Well, I, you know, nothing has really changed. Back in 1910, we had the finest politicians money could buy, and we've still got the finest politicians money could buy. We've got a few loyal people up there who really believe, you know, in trying to do what's right and trying to preserve our liberty, but I fear that they're certainly not in a majority.
No, they're not.
But the nice thing is they have to have a two-thirds majority to get through their budgets, and at least that small, dedicated minority up in Sacramento has been able to hold off the hordes of the, certainly that would have totally destroyed this nation.
I agree.
All right, well, tell us a little bit about the recall. Would you like to get into that, or would you like to talk about Governor Davis and education, or where would you like to go?
Well, we can talk about the recall, Dr. Stan. We can start there. It's interesting that, yes, everyone at the time thought it was a real long shot, but it was striking for the following reasons. I mean, first, to get the recall on the ballot, the law requires that valid signatures totaling, I believe it's 14% of the turnout from the previous election are needed to qualify. The difference here is that we had recall petitions that could be downloaded from a computer. That's never happened. So the politicians didn't have control as to distribution and who got the number of copies and the chicanery that could happen when you've got only one or two printing sources, you know, to obtain the petitions. So this 14% totaled 850,000 people. These number of qualified signatures had to come from a state with a clear Democrat majority. And it's about 45% Democrat, 35% Republican in the state of 15 million registered voters. So we had 1.8 million signatures when those were counted, and it was time to certify the recall. Turns out 40% came from Democrats. Isn't that interesting?
No, I think there were an awful lot of Democrats who were furious because Gray Davis had lied to the American people, to the people of the state of California. He told them the debt was only going to be, what, $20 billion or something like that?
Yeah, it was at the time it was 28, and it went up by 10 when, it was 28 when he was reelected in 2002. And, yeah, he did bury the full extent of it, the 38. And think about this, Dr. Stan. When you go from the $12 billion surplus and $38 billion deficit in 4 years, that comes to about $1 billion a month.
Well, how did he manage to do that? In other words, where did all that money go?
Well, there's a lot of entitlements. The loss in revenue was the big factor that began the House of Cards falling apart, was the dot-com burst. We had a huge amount of revenues coming from the inflated stock values. And instead of adjusting to that loss of a huge amount of money, they just kept spending and writing checks and not worrying about it.
And, of course, what they should have done was, of course, contracted spending. Instead of that, it was spend and spend, elect and elect. The good times are going to run forever, and we're going to make our money while we're here in Sacramento, and then we're going to be able to go home and live really well because we'll get rewarded by the people that we've given special favors to. Well, of course, at least with one person, it didn't work out that way, and that was Gray Davis. We're going to be back here in just a moment with our special guest, Patrick Mallon, his book, A California Dictatorship, and if you'd like to give us a call, our number is 464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY.
Have you ever wondered what really happened in Oklahoma City? Well, a very important video is the cover-up in Oklahoma City. And it really consists of film clips that were actually taken from video footage shot during the first 2 or 3 days after the bombing. And you'll actually hear the commentators in Oklahoma City talking about the second bomb, the third bomb that had been disarmed. Now, if they were actually disarming bombs, why didn't we hear that throughout the rest of the country? You'll actually hear an interview with one of the gentlemen who was in the Murrah building at the time that the bomb went off, and he had time then to jump underneath his desk before the glass blew in from outside. Obviously, there were two bombs, one inside, one outside. Call 1-800-5-HIV-1.
It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. A secret of healthy aging was recently found among people who have lived unusually long, healthy lives. The longest-lived woman, Jean Calment of France, who lived 122 years, and man, Antonio Todd of the Italian Isle of Sardinia, who lived 115 years, as well as the Queen Mother of England, who lived 100 years, outliving one of her daughters by 3 decades, was their daily consumption of red wine. But health authorities have been reticent to recommend an alcoholic beverage to the public at large until now. Longevinex is the world's first stabilized French red wine extract in a pill, without the calories and without the alcohol or sulfite preservatives. One Longevinex capsule provides the red wine molecules found in 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon, Patrick Mallon, his book, California Dictatorship, and it's the story of Gray Davis. And, of course, what was happening in California was a disaster. We were losing our industries. Companies were just picking up and pulling out because they couldn't afford the workman's compensation insurance, and Gray Davis wasn't going to do anything about it. Companies were leaving because of the environmental problems. Companies were living because of the tax structure here in the state of California, and a lot of older people were leaving too, because of course you can move over into Nevada and not have to pay any state income tax. And if you're made $1 million or so selling stock, of course they're going to get 15% of it here, or I guess 10% of it here in the state of California. So people were leaving, people were just pulling out, and of course the legislature wasn't about to do anything about it. The good times were rolling, and so of course then we had the electricity crisis, and there was a lot of serious questions about hanky-panky and the Gray Davis accepting large sums of money from Enron and from the other electricity companies. And you pick up the story there, Patrick.
Sure. Well, the energy crisis is clearly the point in 2003 where things could go south for Gray Davis. And, you know, this isn't entirely his fault, because in 1996 the state deregulated energy, and everyone in both parties in the Assembly and the Senate voted for it, and there's a lot of money being passed around, that's for sure.
And, of course, the thing is that we have sold to the people in the state of California, this is how we're going to lower your electricity bills. You remember that? Oh, the bring in competition, we'll lower the electricity bills, and, of course, everybody got handouts in Sacramento. The real purpose was to raise the price of electricity, but they couldn't tell the people of California that, so they simply lied to them. And there were some people who were taken in, I'm sure. There were some good people up in Sacramento, but a lot of them were on the take, and certainly Pete Wilson had close ties to the electricity industry, but of course, and so did Gray Davis. He was taking a lot of money from them, and he was the man at the helm who could have stopped this whole foolishness by saying, we're not going to deregulate electricity, we're going to go back, we have public utilities, they're going to be maintained under government control, and we're going to negate the whole thing, and he didn't have the courage to do what was right, and as a result, why, of course, the price of natural gas has gone up, the price of electricity has gone up, and he was the captain of the ship.
That's true. And we look at the way the issues are framed. When we ignore the fact that, you know, the simple equation of supply and demand, if you decide that you're not going to increase your supply while the demand is with the population, I believe, in 20 years from 1970 to 1990, I believe the state increased in population by 15 million people, and those are conservative estimates, and you could not get a power plant built. And so eventually you're going to either have very expensive energy or you're going to have to go out of state. But if you can't get a power plant built with all these people coming in, it's crazy. On the same token, Dr. Stan, Gray Davis stood up on the Foothill Freeway, I believe, in 2001 and said this section of the freeway, I think it was a five-mile section, is the last that will ever be built in California. And everyone's going, huh? The population is increasing by 500,000 to a million a year, and these crazy decisions are being made, and you're asking for a disaster. But as it regards energy, I would also point your listeners to this fact, and that is, as Davis tried to blame the energy crisis, because he didn't want to deal with it, on Republicans and George Bush and Enron, Enron only supplied 4% of the energy to California. And granted, yes, there were abuses, but the abuses were made because they could abuse the laws that allowed this thievery to happen.
Well, of course, if they'd allowed the power companies to buy future contracts, this never would have happened. But it was a setup ahead of time. They created a crisis. They knew that when you couldn't buy future contracts on electricity, that you were going to get shortages, and this whole thing was set up ahead of time. It was a scam, and we'll pay for it for the next 20 years. But I will give, of course, Governor Davis credit. He did actually get started building some power plants. He anticipated it was going to be a problem. And if he just held things together and done what was right, why, it would have straightened itself out. Instead, of course, he played politics, took money from everybody in preparation for the next election, and didn't address the problem properly, and ultimately paid for it by being recalled. And we're going to be back here with Patrick Mallon, and we'll be discussing the California dictatorship. And, of course, Gray Davis and his fall from grace. And I think we can also mention that when Gray Davis left office, we had a $30 billion state debt. Today, or as of June of next year, we'll have a $50 billion state debt. Isn't it wonderful having a Republican there in the State House? Well, we'll be back in just a moment, but here at Radio Liberty.
Have you ever wondered what really happened at Waco? Have you ever wondered if maybe the government was not giving you the full story? Well, there is the most amazing video. It's called Waco, the Rules of Engagement, 2.5 ripping hours of the story of a government onslaught under a group of peaceable people. Now, their religion may be different than yours and mine, but they were still Christians, they still believed in the Bible, and they believed that the government would one day become their enemy and destroy them. Well, Waco, the Rules of Engagement is a video that everybody who loves freedom should see, because the ultimate conclusion is the government did not want them to come out. The government did everything they could to keep them from coming out, to antagonize them, loud music, lights all the time, to totally create a situation where they could not think clearly or respond normally. Waco, the rules of engagement, is currently unavailable to regular sources. Call 1-800-5-HIB-WAR right now.
Leading edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
And this is Dr. Stan. We do want to mention that we have the Sanjian 505 shortwave AM/FM radio. We think they're a great product. And, of course, Sanjian used to make the radios for Radio Shack. And I've been told that since they stopped using Sanjian, a lot of people aren't anywhere near as happy with the radios that they're getting from Radio Shack. But the Sanjian is available from Radio Liberty. It comes with a 25-foot portable aerial. And, of course, the aerial is so important in getting good reception. But this is one with automatic memories, all sorts of advantages. Now, we do have some other Sanjian radios. You can see pictures of them up on our website at at radioliberty.com. And then, of course, we also carry the Dr. Robinson's homeschool curriculum that will take your child from grammar school all the way through high school graduation for $199.95. An amazing program. Check our website at radioliberty.com or give us a call here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan, our guest this afternoon, Patrick Mallon. We're talking about California dictatorship. We're talking about really the amazing time that we lived through when a governor of the state of California was actually recalled. And I think we can actually thank several people. I know that there was a gentleman named... Well, I'm going to let Patrick tell the story. Go ahead, Patrick.
Well, the real originator of this is a man named Ted Costa. And he was also involved with the Howard Jarvis effort back with Prop 13 in 78. He is a tremendous man, and the momentum early on when Gray Davis was reelected in 2002 began almost as soon as he finished his second inaugural speech. Eric Hoag, Roger Hedgecock, and Melanie Morgan actively had Ted Costa on air every day for a period of time to inform people that if they were upset with Davis, we knew that Bill Simon was a terrible candidate, that there was really no alternative, and if we were going to see things continue their downward spiral under Davis, we did have this tool that we could use if we could obtain enough signatures to put the measure on the ballot. And even then, it was still considered a long shot, Dr. Stan, but you know, we're looking at biased polls like the field poll. We're looking at getting our information from very liberal newspaper sources, and they're not going to provide us with the information we really need. So we had to rely on talk radio to get down to the nitty-gritty. And what I have to say about talk radio, and it's been a fantastic phenomenon, is that politicians who had the capability of articulating the truth would come on the air, and they would have to answer for their actions. And politicians that could not, and they did come on the air, would get pummeled. And so this way, people would discover, and the numbers of listeners were always increasing and still are, would discover who was and who was not being ingenuous.
Well, I think it was really amazing to see as the petitions began to go out, people began passing them out, duplicating them, giving to other people. And I think it was when the American people or the people of the state of California became aware of the fact that Gray Davis had lied to us about the amount of deficit. I mean, $28 billion is bad, but $38 billion was unconscionable. He knew that, and he simply lied to the people. And, of course, there were people like McClintock and others who tried to tell the people the truth. And, of course, Davis, arrogant as he was, he was superior to the rest of us. He was so much smarter. He simply lied to the American people. And, of course, I think that the people of the state of California were sick and tired of that. And I think that the fact that 40% of the people who signed the ballots for the recall were Democrats shows that there are an awful lot of good people out there in both political parties who really do respect integrity. And we were getting it from Gray Davis.
No, we weren't. And it's an important point to make, integrity and values and what goes around comes around. When you do lie to people, you can be discovered tomorrow or it could take a few years, but for politicians, they're so good at burying and obfuscating and obstructing the real facts, and they're protected by this palace guard of PR people who are just trotting out a bunch of bunk every day. That sounds good, a bunch of rhetoric, and newspapers like the LA Times just picking it up and, for the most part, buying into it. Sure, there were some good reports about, demanded that Davis and his people answer for some of their policies and approaches they were taking to issues. But the thing is, Dr. Stan, is that in so many cases we're seeing that the issues that are really important are ignored, and the issues that are really comparatively insignificant become a mountain. They spend the whole newspaper, page after page, is devoted to silly stuff, insignificant stuff. It's designed to distract us. You know, let me give, for instance, back in the energy crisis period, and it's true, right, in this last couple of years, there were plants that did come online, and we did get some California-based power plants up and running. But here's an irony that we didn't get much reporting on. We went down to because the regulatory obstacles were so bad, California determined to find alternative methods to supply the electricity by going to Mexico to construct power plants to power cities in Southern California. Now, isn't it ironic? You've got the Democratic Party, they keep talking about human rights and looking out for the little guy, and that seems to be the mantra of their existence. You've got millions of poor people from Mexico. They cross the American border to improve their quality of life, while American power companies take their operations to Mexico to improve ours. And lo and behold, because the emissions regulations in Mexico there's really no restrictions. The emissions are like 4 to 5 times the level of emissions into the air than if the plant was in the United States. Well, as the wind would blow from Mexico up to San Diego, there was suddenly this big pollution problem in the Imperial Valley, and everyone's saying, where did this come from? And, it turned out that the San Diego Union Tribune did a couple of good reports on this, and they said, well, didn't you guys know? We just constructed these massive power plants in Mexico to supply power to the United States and San Diego and cities throughout California. You didn't know about this? Well, they didn't know about it until they said, what's all this pollution doing here?
Well, of course, this whole thing is so ridiculous. They want to tear down our dam so the fish can swim, and then, of course, you lose that as a source of hydroelectric power. They want to create the problems at every turn, and Gray Davis was going right along with them at every turn, and never having the courage to do what was right, because, of course, he was being financed by the radical left and the environmentalists and the people who created the problem to begin with. So anyway, I think it was really amazing to see the tremendous groundswell of support for his recall. And then, of course, we might very well have had an opportunity to get a really good governor in there who would do what was right, except the establishment wasn't about to let the country of the state of California, the sixth largest economy in the entire world, out of their grasp. If they were going to allow it, us to elect a governor, they picked the governor for us. And, of course, it was Arnold Schwarzenegger, and in true, entertainment fashion why he went on the Jay Leno program and announced with no background at all and no apparent backing other than from people of great wealth and power that he was going to run for the governorship. And the amazing thing is he's won, and now they're even trying to push him for the presidency. And of course, people all over the country, well, I don't think anybody really wants him as president, but why they have their websites up there and they're trying to get a constitutional amendment passed that Arnold should be the next president of the United States. That is really amazing. Talk about show business. This is carrying it just too far.
Well, what was it in ancient Greece they called a Pyrrhic victory? Well, we may have gotten our victory with Schwarzenegger coming in and putting a guy with an R next to his name and calling him a Republican and saying, isn't this great because now Gray Davis is gone and Arnold will solve all our problems. Well, when I saw that Arnold was not willing to follow through on a major promise he made going into the recall campaign and election was that he would conduct a statewide audit. He said he would open up all the books for everyone to see, all these crazy spending, and he never did it. He never did it because of what it would have revealed, of the excesses and the abuses, the fraud, the money going out left and right. It would have embarrassed both parties. So he never did it. He never had an audit.
And, of course, he said, I don't have to take money from other people. I don't have to give favors. I've got plenty of money of my own. But he's raised a lot more money than Gray Davis ever raised. And, of course, it's all coming from the various people that he's giving favors to. That's what's so incredible about this. And there's no outcry from the people of the state of California.
Well, there isn't because we feel like the problem has been solved. The Californians, they're too busy with their fifth wheel and their jet skis and this is a big playground here, and it is a wonderful place, but we have to make the effort, Dr. Stan, to protect what we have. I want a legacy so that my boys can live in a state as wonderful as you and I have right now, and we're seeing it destroyed both financially, culturally, our education system. We haven't even talked about our education system. 30 years ago, this was an award-winning, the top educational system in the nation, and now we rank 47th out of 50 in academic achievement. And, you know, we've got 80% of the kids that can't do their math, their algebra to their grade level. We've got 60% of the kids that can't read English to their grade level. And what are we doing? We've got this via multiculturalism and tolerance. We've got this pro-gay curriculum infiltrating itself into the California K-12 system, and this seems to be the priority of the Trojan horse legislators in Sacramento. And yet our schools continue to fail, and it's our number one budget item in the state. And I think it's criminal what's happened to our education system.
And we have our death education and our suicide education and our sex education. But, of course, very little as far as the academics is concerned, and that isn't accidental. They know exactly what they're doing. And Gray Davis promised to get us back to phonics, and, you know, we still didn't get back to phonics. And, of course, Arnold isn't going to do it either. In fact, what's really so amazing is that Arnold solved the massive deficit we had for the when he first came in by simply borrowing money, taking out bonds and borrowing the money so we could have a balanced budget. And then, of course, when he put in his own budget, again, there was another $6 billion of borrowed money. It's in violation of the state constitution, to my understanding, but then who are you going to complain to? So what they're doing is simply borrowing more and more and more. And, of course, the incredible thing, Arnold backed this $3 billion, a grant that's going to be used for stem cell research. Who's going to get the money? Why, of course, a group of people who wanted the money for themselves are going to set up a committee, and they're going to determine who gets it. And, of course, some people who have their invested in the right stocks are going to make fortunes on this whole incredible scam. Why would Arnold back these massive bond issues that simply got, one day they're going to have to be paid for? Maybe he'll be president by that time, though. Well, we're just about out of time. Let's tell our listeners how they can get copies of your book, Patrick.
Sure. It's available now on Amazon.com, Dr. Stan, and Barnes & Noble. And I believe that Barnes & Noble is the best price out there now. It's down to $19. You could also go to the publisher's website, which is www.xlibris.com, and you can purchase it there. It's $24 there. And, you know, if anyone wants me to sign a copy for them, and I guess I thought about it, send $20 to me, I will send them a signed copy.
All right, how can they reach you?
And my phone number is 949-636-9962, and I think $20 would cover shipping as well, and I could do it that way.
Give that telephone number one more time, 949
636-9962.
Well, I think the book is fascinating because it gives you the history of that we all lived through and really the background of what happened and why it was necessary to recall Governor Davis. Now, I wish, of course, that we'd had a real choice, but with the media solidly behind the actor, there was no way that people were going to vote for Tom McClintock, who could have cleaned up the state, wasn't going to give it a chance. Actually, exit polls, they were quite accurate. I mean, 54% of the people voted for Arnold Schwarzenegger, 17%, as I remember, for Tom McClintock. But when people were asked on the exit polls, who would you really like to have voted for? None of them wanted to vote for Bustamante. They all would have liked to have voted for McClintock, but they had been told by their leaders, by their political leaders in Sacramento, by the Republican Party, by the establishment that controls what we think, you have to vote for Arnold. Because if you don't, why, Bustamante's going to get in. Of course, the very few people wanted Bustamante. It was an overwhelming rejection of the policies of Gray Davis and Bustamante and everything he represents. But, of course, they managed to panic the people into voting for somebody who's controlled by the same establishment that has always controlled both political parties here in California.
Yeah, I believe that.
And so until the American people and the people of the state of California understand how the game is played, you have two political parties, and at least with the Republican representatives in Sacramento, they have held back the destructive spending there. But, you know, I will give Arnold credit for the fact that he has made some efforts to bring down the cost of workmen's compensation. What about the environmental rules? Has he done anything at all about that?
He kind of steered clear of it. It's become less of a prominent political hot potato these days. I think we've got some coastal issues with the water pollution, beaches. The number of closures last year, and certainly in Southern California, was the highest ever. But the minute you start talking about how you need to invest in the infrastructure required to retool, repipe the drainage systems that go directly into the ocean, because, by the way, when it rains and anything that's under the street, I mean, it just goes right into the ocean. When the figures that have been placed in front of the public for the cost of refurbishing these plants, processing plants for raw sewage, when they, the public gets a feel for it, it's just too frightening. I mean, it's huger than we know. I mean, think about this too, Dr. Stan. The problems that San Diego is having with its water quality at the California-Mexico border, where you've got raw sewage being pumped into the ocean just 3-4 miles south in Tijuana, and when that flows north, that goes to San Diego. And if you're not going to make Mexico responsible for the sewage, then the problem is huger. Now, there's an international issue right there.
Well, I think that, of course, there's all sorts of fascinating implications of what's going on today. And certainly, Arnold promised that he would repeal the car tax, which he did, and I give him credit for that. But he also promised that he would not, of course, allow the aliens, people here illegally, to get driver's licenses or get some other special thing. And of course, there was going to be an initiative on the ballot, as I remember, so that people in the state of California could say you can't give people who are here illegally driver's licenses. So, Arnold promised that they would come out against that, and so they temporarily put it off, but I think they're going to bring it back in again, and of course they discouraged the initiative because Arnold promised he would take care of it. I think he's going to take care of it. I think he's going to do just the opposite from what he said, but he hopes that people won't remember what he'd said before.
No, and you're probably going to see a compromise wherein the original rejection that would have given an illegal immigrant an identical driver's license to a citizen, there's going to be a different type of marking on the license, but it does look like that Arnold will eventually cave in.
But well, I think the whole thing is it's all part of the globalistic program, the effort to unite America, the United States with Mexico and with Canada, all part of the globalist dream. That's why the borders are open. But we can't let the American people realize what the establishment really plans, and that is the end of American sovereignty. Hey, we're out of time. Patrick, thank you so much for writing California Dictatorship, and thank you so much for being our guest.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. God bless.
And you too. Bye-bye.
Another of our fascinating four tape sets is entitled Concentration Camps, and it's four interviews with people talking about the move to establish concentration camps in the United States. Now, most people say that's foolish talk. We couldn't have that. And yet, if you listen to these tapes, you'll find out that those camps are a reality. They are being set up in case of civil disturbance. And, of course, the authority for the establishment of the concentration camps comes from the executive orders, which were actually put through during the time of the Reagan administration. For documentation of the location and the background to the formation of these camps, their establishment, and what may very well happen and what they may be used for in the future, I suggest you call our interpreter number 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for America, our values, our future, are under attack today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and let me just tell you that we have an amazing tape set, and it's actually 3 hours of videos, but part of that video clips are from the Iran-Contra hearings. We'll actually hear, it was Congressman Jack Brooks who's trying to bring out when they're questioning Oliver North at this government hearing, and you actually see the film footage. Brooks is trying to bring out the fact that there is a plan to suspend the Constitution and arrest Americans. Then you'll hear Senator Inouye interrupting him over and over again. Why? Because the last thing they want is for the American people to know the truth of what's really being planned. And then, of course, finally Inouye says, well, if you want to discuss this, we'll have to do it in a closed session. Really meaning, of course, we don't want the American people to know. And then, of course, you'll see Congressman Henry Gonzalez, for many years the chairman of the House Banking Committee, saying the only person who really got close to the truth was Congressman Jack Brooks. And, of course, there really is a plan in case of a terrorism here in America to begin arresting Americans and putting them into concentration camps. Now, the videos, of course, show you the camps. They're there. They're empty now. But there is a plan. There really are people who don't believe in America, who have a different agenda, who dream a different dream, who worship a different God. The amazing clips, 3.5 hours of exciting video you want to see. We even have a concentration camp special, which includes that tape set, and then, of course, the four tape set on the concentration camps and other information that you really need to have to understand that there are people there who have a different vision for the world. Their loyalty is not to America, but to the New World Order, the New World Religion, and it's all about the conspiracy against God. Give us a call and get the concentration camp special. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I was just telling our local listeners about the concentration camp special, which includes the four-tape set on concentration camps. It includes the amazing clips, a video, America Behind Barbed Wire, and it's available, as all of our specials are, for $69.95, and we pay the postage. And, of course, we bundle things together so that you get a really good deal. But the important thing is we want you to have the information, and we want you to get it out to others. People say that sort of thing could never happen in America. But then, of course, did you ever think that we would go to war with Iraq over a mistake? Oh, shucks. They were mistaken. They told us that there were weapons of mass destruction, and they weren't there. But after all, Saddam Hussein is such a bad guy that isn't the world better off since he's there? And he's rid of him, and that justifies all of the boys have died. Almost 9,000 American casualties have had their hands and legs and arms blown off and blinded and 9,000 casualties. We never talk about them. We never talk about over 800 of the special forces there. We call them contract agents, but they're really under the control of the CIA or fighting a secret war over there. We never talk about the 35,000 casualties, American casualties, many of them with illnesses that psychological Gulf War illness, illnesses that they all very similar to the Gulf War illness of the first time around the first Gulf War. You know, the first Gulf War, if you don't have our four tape set on, you need to get it. You need to understand that somewhere between a third and a half of those young men we sent over to fight in the first Gulf War are ill today, and 10,000 of them have died, and the government's lost all the shot records, and the government until recently has consistently denied there was anything wrong with them. Only recently, within the last month, was a report came out that said there really is a Gulf War illness, and of course, try to get that report off the internet. It's virtually impossible to get. Why? Because they don't want you to get it. We have a copy of it, and I will tell you that there is no question, as the doctors look at what's happened, that this is a real illness. These people are really ill. And not only that, but they're infecting their wives with this disease. And if you'd like to get these, we call it the Rockefeller Committee report put out by the Veterans Administration, fascinating report, which has been very carefully suppressed. I talked to the people in the U.S. printing office. They only printed 35 copies for 250 million, or 200, almost 300 million people. I asked them why, and they said they're so expensive to print. We have the Rockefeller.